Good morning. How's everyone doing today? I mean, really. I'd like to invite everyone to take a moment to check in with yourself. Let's take 1 minute of meditation to check in. Close your eyes if that helps. Get comfortable in your pew, not too comfortable. And take 1 minute just to explore your own thoughts and feelings. Thank you. So now, how are you feeling? You're either thinking about this weird request, or maybe you're feeling a little more in touch with yourself. We're entering the holiday season. A friend of mine is a therapist, and he sarcastically calls this the season of mandatory happiness. So what if we're not feeling happy? Is it okay to feel other emotions? What if this season reminds us of people we've lost? Or it adds extra stress? Or we're just feeling irritated by all the political commercials and phone calls? Is this okay? Is it socially acceptable to not be okay? To have negative feelings? To lament to God about it? I think Psalm 13 gives us a powerful answer. Spoiler alert, the answer is yes, it is okay. How long, O God, will you forget me forever? God forgot me. That's quite an accusation. The Hebrew word here can also be translated as be oblivious or inattentive. We're being blown off by God. It's like a friend that you've texted a few times and they haven't gotten back to you. I think the young people call this being ghosted. It's irritating. And that's how the author of the first verse feels about God. How long will you hide your face from me? God hides from me. The Hebrew word here can also mean conceal or keep secret. It seems like God has actively abandoned us. Now it's like the friend who ignored your texts, sees you in the grocery store, hides their face, and darts down a different aisle. It's more than irritating. It's insulting. How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? Pain in my soul, sorrow in my heart, all day long. That is a graphic description of some seriously negative feelings. Clearly, the author of Psalm 13 is feeling hurt, angry, depressed, abandoned, traumatized, or some combination of these feelings. And they aren't afraid to say it or show it. How well do we do at making the space to share these kind of feelings with each other? At home, at work, at church, during worship? How could we create more spaces to care for each other when we're going through these very real emotions? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? My enemy is winning. The enemy here in this psalm might be a military foe, but for us, it could be anything. Work stress, family conflict, a new injury, an old injury, cancer, racism, poverty, homophobia, bullying. or whatever else that intends to do us harm. That stuff is winning here. I think of Anna Bladel taking a leave of absence from her passionate work with the Methodist Church because of this stuff winning at the moment. Sometimes the stuff momentarily wins. Consider and answer me, Holy One, my God. Consider me. The Hebrew word can also be translated as look at, behold, or respect. The author is making a serious request. You need to respect me, look at me. They say that to God. Then the author adds, answer me. Clearly, they are asking for help, or better yet, demanding help. Help. Remember the person who ignored your texts and hid from you in the store? Well, now you go to their house and address them face to face and ask, so what's going on here? I need some answers. It's a bold move. Clearly, the author of Psalm 13 doesn't know about being Iowa nice. Aren't we just supposed to smile and pretend everything is fine? But Psalm 13 is not Iowa nice. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death, and my enemy will say, I have prevailed. My foes will rejoice because I am shaken. Now an urgent request has been made. I need light and hope and help. For real, this psalm isn't about offering empty platitudes. It's about authentically putting it out there. We all face challenges, pains, and injustices in life. That's just a part of being alive. And sometimes we need help to get through it. Instead of faking a smile during those times, we're invited to be genuine. So we're invited to let God know, let others know, lament a little or a lot, and ask for help. Maybe even ask without being nice about it. But now comes a plot twist. But I trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. Despite the challenges, pains, and injustices of life, the author still trusts in God's continuous love. God's still here. Whatever we face, however hard it might be, God is with us through it. God's steadfast love and abiding presence are here. God is here to listen to us lament, cry, yell, make demands, and maybe even swear. It's okay to be honest and authentic. It may not be always be Iowa nice, but it's clearly biblical. Being genuine with God is a part of having a genuine relationship with God. If we can trust in that relationship, we can be real with God and trust that God is going to be with us. And here comes some seriously good news. God works to bring about salvation in each of our lives. Salvation. The Hebrew word here can also be translated as help, deliverance, health, welfare, or victory. God's help is comprehensive and takes many forms. It may not be what we initially envision or hope for, but God does seek to provide us with help to get through the really challenging things in life. And that's worthy of gratitude. I will sing to the Holy One because God has dealt bountifully with me. Singing. After all this, we somehow got to singing. What started out as laments and accusations has ended in singing and gratitude. Clearly, the author of the psalm still trusts God. In the end, we're able to trust God to help us through the tough stuff in life. We're here. God's here. We're lamenting, God is listening. We're asking, God's responding. In this life, that seems like a pretty good deal. Amen.